Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, greetings and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, October 7th, 9th.
Today's the ninth.
Yeah. Should make this just a running gag every week. Derek's off by about 5 days. October 9th of 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
You're just excited. I'm Sharon Gilbert, and you're Cubby Man. You've been watching the Cubs play, and you're just so excited.
Well, yeah, it's hard not to be. I mean, they're best record in baseball, which means the apocalypse is surely nigh.
I know. It's coming any minute. We all know the last thing that the Lord is going to let you enjoy is, World Series win.
Yeah, that and, of course, the last Trump running for president. So we've got all that going on.
All kinds
of symbolism.
You know, seriously, the Lord must just be laughing.
Yeah,
this is going to be, they won't understand the pun that I've worked into prophecy until, the day that it comes. And I'm just having a good time.
All the believers are brought home, and then they'll all have to root for the Angels.
Oh.
Ba-dumch. Yeah.
Well, the Giants lost, though.
Yes, that's true.
Take that.
Yeah, Giants down 2-0 to the Cubs.
So and there were no Giants in the land.
Yeah, we'll see. I know the Giants knocked the Cubs out, once that I remember. Back would have been about 99 when the Cubs were in a divisional playoff and they lost to the Giants. I think that was about right. But anyway, so revenge is a, as the Klingons would say, a dish best served cold.
Well, we are so glad you're listening to this. You know, we've already done the New Testament for the day. And as often happens, we're probably going to run across things that remind us of the New Testament study as we look at the Old Testament. Yep. And, of course, we're in Proverbs now, so lots of wisdom being imparted by the Holy Spirit inspiring Solomon to write. So we're grateful for these wonderful men and women who have lived lives long before we existed, and their lives are being held up to us in Scripture as examples.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're examples of don't do this.
Exactly. And sometimes we see that even those who are were patriarchs of the faith, giants of the faith, we can see as we read between the lines, they weren't really perfect.
No. In fact, right now, I've talked about this a few times, I'm writing a series of novels that are from a Christian worldview, but it takes place in the 19th century. The kickoff is the Jack the Ripper murders, but it's much deeper than that. And it's all about spiritual warfare. But rather than write perfect Christian individuals, they are flawed. And that's who we are. We are flawed.
Yeah. And we need to remember that even as God was able to use a liar, a conniving cheat like Jacob, who is not only, he's the patriarch, the eponymous founder of the nation of Israel, because God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and David, who conspired to commit murder and committed adultery, God was able to use them anyway. So
we're not on this earth to be paragons of virtue. We are here to reflect the true paragon of virtue, and that is Jesus Christ.
Right. So even if you've got a past, and all of us do, I joked when we were down at Jim Baker's church that first time, how odd it was for me coming from a place where I was living totally for the world, was a top 40 radio disc jockey back in the mid-80s, was encouraging a lifestyle that we didn't want our daughter to live later once I got my head on straight. And at that time was about the time that Jim Baker was going through his rather public humiliation in the eyes of the world. And that's all that I knew about Jim Baker and for a long time. I know what I need to know about this guy. I don't need to know anything else. Well, he has repented. He's repudiated what he taught back in those days.
He has. He's gone through a restoration, and that going through restoration is painful.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing that occurred to me was that knowing that he's not the same man he was 30 years ago, I thought, well, gee, I don't even want my mom knowing what I was doing 30 years ago. There are things that I did that she didn't know about, and as far as I'm concerned, she ain't never going to know about. But much less having the world know about them and judge me on that basis. Because there are people, if they knew all of the things that I did when I was in my, and not that I lived in the eyes of the world an exceptionally wicked lifestyle, but there are things that I did then and causes that I endorsed that in the eyes of some people, would disqualify me from what we're doing right now.
Yeah, but you know what?
I have repented of those things.
That's the wonder. I mean, Jesus Christ died for sinners.
Yeah.
And that's everyone.
Right.
We're all sinners. It's just that we human beings tend to grade sin.
On a curve.
Yeah.
Right, right.
No, it's pass fail. You either are a sinner or you are not.
Mm-hmm. And if you think you're not, according to John, you're a liar.
Yep.
The truth. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yeah. So anyway, this is not that we condone sin and say, you know, it's all good. Jesus loves everybody.
No.
No, not at all. But what we're saying is if you repent and turn to him, and this is Jesus' own words, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was near 2,000 years ago, of course it was near because he was walking amongst them,
mm-hmm.
but it is even more near now. I mean, as we have mentioned during Paul's writings to the church at Corinth and the letters to the church at Thessalonica, he thought Jesus' return, Christ's return, was imminent mm-hmm. then. So
yes.
It's even more imminent now.
Exactly. And that's why in the book of Revelation, we see those who have, you know, died for the faith under the altar who are saying, how long?
Yeah.
They've been saying how long since he got there.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's the message. And again, as we go through Proverbs today, like you said, we'll probably see some points of synchronicity with what we studied earlier today. And boy, those letters to the church at Corinth mm-hmm. are really something.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
when you
yes.
begin to see how it weaves into a cohesive whole, the scripture as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty powerful.
Yeah. To have iodine nearby because Paul's going to smack you around.
Like he did the church at Corinth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the instruction that you give us, the correction that you give us through your word, but also through the redemption and restoration that has come through your sacrifice. If we just turn to you, repent of our sins, acknowledge our sins, ask your forgiveness, Lord. We know that we can never work our way into salvation, nor can we ever achieve perfection. We will always commit sin, but Lord, we pray that you will guide us to walking in a more holy path to reflect the light of your glory. We pray that you'll guide us as we read your word this day and help us to better understand the wisdom contained in the passages that we'll read and wisdom to apply them to our own lives, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very first, out of the gate, first
yeah,
verse.
Kind of a callback to what we opened the book of Proverbs with. Proverbs 13.
A callback to this morning's New Testament study.
Well, that's true. Yes. Proverbs 13, beginning at verse 1. It is 13 we're starting with, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We did through 12 last time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
We did.
Proverbs 13, beginning verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And that, yeah, a lot of what Paul was writing the mm-hmm. church at Corinth is like, look, the reason I didn't come back to you is because I didn't want to come back before you got your act together.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have to smack you around some more in person. Mm-hmm. He was a little more diplomatic than that, but just, you know, cutting to the chase.
That's what he meant.
In a nutshell. Verse 2, from the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin.
Call back to James. Who,
yeah.
you know, says we need to govern the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Or loose lips sink ships. Yeah. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. And these are not anthropomorphized versions of righteousness as an entity or sin as an entity.
These right.
are just, you know,
this is a poetic
mm-hmm. language, right? One pretends to be rich yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor yet has great wealth. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. So, yeah, you can buy your way out of trouble occasionally, but happiness does not come from having great wealth.
Exactly.
Sometimes the richest people are the most messed up people you know.
Actually, the richest person sometimes is the poorest person
right.
in the eyes of the world.
Yeah. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out.
Again, the light of the righteous, that's not just a physical light here on earth. We're talking spiritual
right.
here.
By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, And so that can also mean by fraud is the translation. But whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And desires can be negative as well as positive. So just bear that in mind. This is not God saying, you know, I'll fulfill your every desire like a genie in a lamp. Desire of the righteous is what he's talking about, a proper desire for the things of God. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. And the Hebrew word translated word there can mean mitzvah, can be translated as the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. In everything, the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly.
Okay, can you read that again? Because mine doesn't read that way.
Verse 16.
Every prudent man acts with knowledge.
I've got in everything, the prudent acts with knowledge.
Are you at Blue Letter Bible?
I am at Faith Life, but it is the English.
Yours is read differently than mine. Remember, Blue Letter just updated their ESV to the latest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2016 version, right. So we've got two translations there. Mm-hmm. So how does the...
Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly.
And the Lexham translation, which is what Faith Life's translation says, he who is clever will act with intelligence. So trying to convey the sense of the Hebrew into English...
It's very difficult.
Because Hebrew is a little more nuanced than English. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Again, that's a theme that you hear often throughout Proverbs. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Choose your friends wisely.
Yeah,
Disaster pursues sinners. And the word could also be translated evil or misfortune. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but is swept away through injustice. It is swept away through injustice. Perhaps suggesting that laziness is somehow tied to the... not necessarily. This could be... Like Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you, but it's not because there always are people who are... too lazy to work. It's because there are always people who will take advantage of those people, which is not to say that everybody who's got money is necessarily coming by it unrighteously, which is another fallacy that is propagated by the, by the progressives. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. Ah, spare the rod, spoil the child. Mm-hmm. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
That's not a very popular...
No, today you can get yourself arrested by not sparing the rod. But and the fact is, it's difficult as a parent to do what needs doing when it needs to be done. I mean, nobody wants to make their child unhappy with them, but there are times that being a good parent means you have to make your child unhappy with you.
Mm-hmm.
None of my friends have to do this. Well, tough.
Bet they do.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. My house, my rules. Verse 25, the righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want. That is it. If you have your head on straight, you will be satisfied with got enough to eat and we're under God's covering. That's all we need.
Chapter 14, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. You know what? This is something that we women need to take to heart, because it's so easy to let the stress and strain of the day get to us, and we we do things inside our family that does not build up the house, does not edify the family, but tears it down. And oftentimes the root of this is the relationship between the husband and the wife. And it bleeds over into the kids. And whereas the father, the husband, is the protector, the sheepdog, the overarching authority in the house, oftentimes the house, that the personality of the house is designed and informed by the woman. So, yeah, let's build up our houses instead of tearing them down. And you can start that by building up your husband and not tearing him down.
I can tell you a world of difference when the woman that you're coming home to every day makes you feel like the most important person in the world. Because for men, it is true. We have a lot of our self-esteem tied in how we look in the eyes of our wives. And there are a lot of marriages, I think, where you get into a mutually destructive cycle. Well, I'm not going to do this for you because you didn't do this for me. I'm not going to say nice things to you because you didn't say nice things to me. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that cycle ultimately leads in a broken home, children who are scarred by that. And the world tells us, no, that's okay. You don't need two parents. You don't need, you know, who needs men? You know, conceive in it. You know, we talked on Skywatch TV and Sci Friday a couple of weeks ago about this new app.
Oh, yes.
The London Sperm Bank, you know, buy your daddy with an app, you know, buy your
pick a daddy.
And you, that's wrong on a couple of levels.
You're picking sperm. You're not picking a father.
Exactly. It's wrong on a couple of levels. First of all, conflating the idea of fatherhood with sperm donor is wrong. Secondly, it's eugenics.
Yes.
Because you're
exactly what it is.
Yeah. You're picking for characteristics. So I want a blonde neurosurgeon. Yeah. It's eugenics is what it is. But, you know, see the world, that's the message from the world, that the traditional family is outmoded, that God's design for the family, I shouldn't say traditional family,
it's God's design for the family
is, well, it's so 15th century BC. This is, you know, some charismatic shepherd who deceived a couple million people in the desert years ago. I mean, that was okay in the, you know, 15th century BC, but today we know better. We're more advanced. When in fact, we're just going back to the old sins that God told him not to engage in 3,500 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not new. It's not progressive. It's regressive is what it
is. That's exactly what it is.
So, but you're right. It is a mutual thing. Just as husbands in scripture, we are commanded to love our wives and build them up and be prepared to sacrifice for them in the way Christ sacrificed himself for the church.
Exactly.
And that doesn't just mean, you know, okay, if a bear attacks, I'll throw myself in between the bear and my wife. It means sacrifice, give up the Sunday afternoon football when there are things that you need to do together.
It may be that. It may also mean I'm going to build up my wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to, instead of, you know, going to her when I want to, you know, have sex with her.
Right.
I'll tell her how she's pretty. You tell her that every day.
Right.
You make her know every day that she's treasured by you. And it's remarkable, this feedback system that will start.
Exactly. When you turn that around from this mutually destructive to a mutual admiration society. Gary Haven, who's the writer and producer of Amerageddon, but also the CEO, founder of the Curves Fitness Chains, said something which I thought was really profound and spot on. And it was that every man needs to feel like, and I'm not going to get this right. I wish I'd written it down because I thought it was brilliant. Needs to feel like he's successfully completed some sort of, you know, epic quest, you know, like, you know, even if, you know, I'm thinking of that Monty Python sketch, the guy who was the chartered accountant where he's going to work and, you know, he's just thinks his life is just boring and he carries this little comic book in his briefcase that he starts sneaking a look at it at, at the office, but his whole journey to the office, you know, people are getting shot and dying and things exploding all around him, and he's not paying any attention to it. But he gets to the office and he finally gets to read his little secret superhero comic book so that he can escape into this world of fantasy.
Yes.
But all of us guys, regardless of whether we're alpha males or not, and I am certainly not an alpha male, you know, the alpha male, that would be like a Donald Trump, okay? But we need to feel like we are on that kind of an epic quest. And he said, and every woman needs to feel like she is the maiden who's been won, the beautiful maiden who this knight in shining armor has won. And I thought, that is it. That is it.
That is it. And that is how I feel. I had a dream. I told you about this, but you listening, this is new to you. I had a dream this morning. Just before I woke up, I dreamt that Derek and I were in an SUV with some guys that were taking us to where they worked downtown in a big city. And in order to get there, we had to go across a long bridge. And we were laughing about the fact that they worked downtown, and we were all telling jokes and having a really good time. And suddenly the bridge collapses. And we're all shocked, of course, because we were laughing, and suddenly the bridge collapsed and we were in the water. Now, I don't swim. I didn't swim in the dream either, but in the dream, I remember thinking, I'm sinking, I'm unable to swim, I'm going to die, possibly, but I know my husband will do everything he can to save me. And so I relaxed in the dream, and I just, and this is not what I do when I'm in the water, trust me, I don't. But in the dream, I totally relaxed, and I remember my mouth close to the top of the water. I could just see it was up there, but not close enough to get air. And thinking, this, I can't hold my breath any longer. And that was when I felt Derek's hand take mine, and he pulled me out of the water and saved my life. And I was not the least bit surprised that he would do that, because that's who he is. And he, Derek really would. And I told you about this morning, and you said I would die for you. And trust me, he would, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. You are the kind of man who, you embody Christ for me. And women, this verse 1 of chapter 14, not every man will respond this way, but most men, if you build them up, they will respond by building you up. And you will become that maiden that they're rescuing. And he will become, in your eyes, that knight.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there is not a day that goes by that I don't feel that my wife doesn't believe. I mean, every single day, I know in my heart of hearts that my wife believes that if I put my mind to something, I will do it. You know, that's how I feel. I know that she has that kind of, that's how she makes me feel. I feel like I could, you know, be king of the world.
You are to me.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to be. I've seen that job, and I don't think it's, you know, something I want to do. But that does not look like something I would like to do. But that's how I feel. And women, I cannot tell you how important that is. Now, again, maybe not all men feel this way. I mean, there may be some men who are just so wrapped up in their own sense of self-importance.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say that not every man is going to respond to that.
But if he truly loves you and you truly love him, you have that power to make him feel like he could go out and single-handedly slay the dragon.
Mm-hmm. And that's building up your house.
Yeah. And men, vice versa, you need to make sure your wife knows that if the dragon is at the door, that you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just so many families out there where you just don't see that. Even in the church, you can see. And we are blessed in that God brought our lives together. But more than that, we can see that the people that he has surrounded us with in the ministry that we're working as part of at Skywatch TV, that we see that kind of relationship in every couple that is there.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? But that's true.
Remarkable.
Every one of them has that.
It is remarkable. I mean, the pecs, the horns, the other horns.
Your huskies.
Yeah. It's,
The Howells.
The Howells. It is just remarkable. The Williamses.
I know. And we're going to leave couples out, but let me just tell you, everybody we work with, that's what they've got going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, we praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. So don't complain, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. You don't have to muck out a stall when there's no animal in there.
Right, right.
But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox.
In other words, life is a little messy sometimes.
Exactly.
Just accept it, and it's the price you pay for it.
Move on. Yeah. Be glad. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. Leave the presence of a fool. Don't hang out with him. For there you do not meet words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Don't hang out with them. You will be sucked in. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance.
I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I be contribute here?
Yeah. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. That one is escaping me at the moment.
The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger escapes its joy.
No stranger shares
its joy. Oh. Yeah, you're right. Shares its joy. Well, that one, I think, well, and we know some folks like this who just aren't happy unless they're unhappy.
I guess that's true. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way to death. Its end is the way to death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. You reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
The simple believes everything. Boy, I see a lot of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's on the internet. Must be real. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Mm. The evil bow down before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Now, that's interesting.
It may not seem that way today, but that is ultimately where things are going.
Yes.
Ultimately, that will be the end of God's design here.
The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends.
Right, because they can do for me what I want him to do.
Yeah. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who are going around stealing signs from each other's yards, you're supporting the wrong candidate. I don't care which side you're on. That's not showing love to your neighbor. But blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Well, I'll get to that next week. Y'all do that then.
When I was a young an older fellow who was the assistant broker said something very wise. He said, "Don't pay attention to the agents who hang around in the break room drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and complaining about how lousy the market is." They talk like they've got lots of experience, but don't confuse 15 years of experience for 1 year of experience repeated 15 times.
Oh, true, true.
That's very wise.
Yeah. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Mm-hmm. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. You must like folly, you fool. Crown of the wise is their wealth. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So don't rejoice in having material wealth.
Right.
Crown of righteousness. That's what you want.
Amen.
A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. It seems like it. You think of that, just walking down the street.
Hmm.
In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Now, there's prophecy in that statement. So no matter what goes on in your life,
mm-hmm.
and that's for your daily life, but also as we approach the end of all things,
right.
and the world as we know it, his children will have a refuge, regardless of where you stand on where the rapture takes place,
right.
whether it's before the World Series, in the middle of the World Series, or at the end of the World Series.
I'm voting for before the third out.
Well, rejoice
on
the
seven.
Way up.
Yeah, that's it.
But anyway, yes, indeed. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people a prince is ruined.
Hmm.
I'm a prince, I'm great, but I don't have anybody to rule.
Hmm.
This stinks. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot.
Mm.
Boy, that's so true. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, capital M.
Yes.
But he who is generous to the needy honors him. So, help those in need.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor
as you love yourself. Yeah.
The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. Interesting. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. They won't pay any attention to it, though, because they're fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah. You know, I wish we could see a little more righteousness coming out of Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, I would love it to.
Pray.
I would. Pray. That is just it. We need to pray. In fact, there's a book coming out soon from Defender Publishing called Final Fire, and mm-hmm. it is a book that takes a look at what many of us are praying for, and that is a major revival within the church, that we hit our knees and barrage the Lord
mm-hmm.
with pleas for revival, that we once again become the light and salt that we're supposed to be.
Right, right.
Yeah. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully.
Mm. Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And sometimes that soft answer has to be delivered in a case, in a situation where you're rebuking or reproaching somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And in cases like that, it's very easy for us to rationalize and justify to ourselves the harsh words.
It is, but what did Jesus say? He said, when someone strikes you on the cheek, then turn and give them the other one.
Right. And if you're wanting somebody to change their ways, coming at them and just bluntly telling them, you're stupid and everything you know is wrong, people for some reason tend not to respond well to that.
Yeah.
The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Again, that same theme.
Mm-hmm.
In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. In other words, it's not the action of committing the sacrifice, it's what's in your heart.
Exactly.
That matters. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? That's interesting. Sheol, of course, is the realm of the dead. And Abaddon means perishing, going to ruin. That's also the entity,
mm-hmm.
Apollyon, that will open the abyss in the mm-hmm. last days. So,
yeah. If he knows them better than they know themselves,
yeah,
how much more is he going to know you?
Exactly. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Amen. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it.
Boy, that's so true.
Yes. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisers, they succeed. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. That's interesting because the Old Testament concept of Sheol was that everybody went there, but this points to an understanding that for the righteous, there was something more mm-hmm. than just eternity in the realm of the shades, the dead,
right.
the Rephaim. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. And I think this is important to remember, by the way, that we've seen a couple of things here mentioned as abomination in this chapter. The sacrifice of the wicked, the thoughts of the wicked. It's more, again, than just a specific action. Because we've seen, you know, other specific actions in Leviticus, Deuteronomy referred to as abomination. But it's more than that. It's what's in the heart
mm-hmm.
that God really finds most offensive.
And that's why Jesus says that it's, you know, you've lusted in your heart, you've sinned.
Yeah, exactly. If you hate your brother, you've already committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things.
Mm.
Yeah, think for a minute before you respond. Think for a minute before you hit the return key. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor.
Chapter 16. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I'm honestly not really sure what he means by that. It's one of those, another one of those things, probably the translation from the original Hebrew is so, has so much subtext to it that
could very well be
difficult to put in English. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that it's the weighs the spirit. Yeah.
Hmm.
Again, it's pass fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only way you can pass is if you've accepted Christ as your Savior.
Exactly.
Nothing you can do will make it otherwise.
Yeah. Who do you say that I am?
Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very interesting. What's the word that's translated as wicked there? Let's go in and take a look at it. BlueLetterBible.org, by the way, is a great place to do some research on your own. Mm-hmm. The tools that they have made there are amazing. Rasha is the word that's translated as the wicked. And it is a criminal, guilty one, guilty of sin, the wicked one, guilty of crime, the ungodly. Mm. Yeah. So he's, everyone has a purpose. Which purpose do you want to have?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be, you know, here just to serve as fodder in the day of trouble?
Yeah. Yeah.
Serve as someone who's trying to bring back the old gods?
First reference to the word in the Bible is Genesis 18, where Abraham is negotiating with God. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Mm. Talking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm. Verse 5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Again, it's what's in your heart. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. And of course, this is right after the reference to even the wicked have their place. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. That's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Beginning of the Lord, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We may think we're in charge of our lives, and yes, we do. We have free will, but if you truly love the Lord, he will help you to establish your steps mm-hmm. according to his plans for you. It's that wonderful Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. Hmm. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work.
Hmm. Indicating that, again, commerce and business is not a sin in and of itself, but you have to deal fairly with the people that you're doing business with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, too, that this calls back to that earlier reference where your sin is weighed. Your spirit is weighed.
Hmm. Yeah.
Don't see where'd that go? Okay, it's verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Now, verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been put into place as a king, you better pay attention to what the Lord wants you to do. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face, there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. And this is true. These are being written by a man who was the king.
Right, right.
And of course, this also refers to the eternal king.
Exactly.
How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction.
A famous one.
Pride goeth before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yeah, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before a fall. Mandela effect. Just kidding. Just kidding.
He's been all over the place, hasn't he?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Actually, that's why I lost weight. I was never overweight. You just remember me that way.
That's right.
It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Amen.
And again, we don't believe in the Mandela effect. We believe in the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
Who holds all things together. And that means his word.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. Alternate translation of the word.
To a matter.
To a matter. Whoever gives thought to the word or to a matter will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious, and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the its end is the way to death.
Hmm.
A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. If you weren't hungry, you wouldn't have to work. If you don't work, you'll just go hungry. Plan your work and work your plan. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Boy, this is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be just in person. These sort of whisperings can take place on the internet.
Yes.
So beware. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Hmm.
He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Does that also mean if you have, you know, like trout mouth?
Yeah, yeah. All of those, yeah, fish mouth pictures, the selfies. Yeah.
No, of course, that's not true. But, you know, this is sort of the way someone who would look. I don't know. It's like shifty eyes.
Yeah. Maybe you could have that report to me by the end of the day. That'd be great.
Gray hair is a crown of glory.
Amen.
It is gained in a righteous life.
What about gray beard?
Yeah, gray beard too.
Okay.
Whoever is slow to, and Sam says gray muzzle. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord.
Ah. Proverbs chapter 17. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. Ah. In a similar way, we will often be tested as silver in the crucible and gold in the furnace. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker, again a capital M on maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. And I saw... There were some people who spotted things that were being tweeted to the internet by certain people down in the path of Hurricane Matthew, saying, "Can't wait for the hurricane, going to do me some looting." Yeah. Yeah. They will get theirs.
They will.
They will be, if not in this life, certainly in time. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool. Still less is false speech to a prince. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. For now.
Yeah.
Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Cover an offense. In other words, somebody does you wrong. Just let it go. Let it go. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. Yeah, because once the dam is breached, woe, Nelly. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Yeah, that's when you find out who your true family is, when things are going tough. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. That was something we saw referenced to early on in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Put up a pledge for a stranger, go beg for terms. Yeah. Whoever loves transgression loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. What does that mean?
I don't know. I assume it making your door high means that you think that you're walling yourself in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another one of those that may not be quite in English the way we think it is.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Verse 20. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I think there are a lot of doctors and nurses who would say, yeah, they see that that's true just in the people that they come through their care. The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Or as Mark Twain said, better to be silent and be thought a fool rather than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Yeah.
And we'll end with chapter 18. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Deep waters, not necessarily living waters. A bubbling brook is living waters. So I don't know. Words of a man's mouth are deep waters. Deep waters. It's not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. A fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Words of a whisperer. We've seen this whisperer mentioned numerous times now. Mm-hmm. Gossiper. You're spreading lies about other people. A whisperer. Mm. And to people who like gossip, those are delicious morsels.
Yeah.
They go down into the inner parts of the body. I don't know. Mm. And because they go down into the inner parts of the body, they can actually change the body from within.
Yeah. And not in a good way.
No. You are what you eat. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord. Capitalize that N.
Yeah.
The name.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus
Christ. There's a personification. Right. Exactly right.
Hashem. A rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination.
In his imagination are the key words there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are lots of men and women across the world today who are powerful when it comes to geopolitics and economics. They run the world. The truth is we are run by spiritual entities who are using oligarchs to run all of us.
Right.
That day's coming. When they don't get to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The high wall in his imagination. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Ask anyone on Jeopardy. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great.
Huh.
The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Well, they both sound really good. Debate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Both candidates make sense to me. No, let's vote for Sam T. Doxson. The lot puts an end to quarrels. In other words, casting lots.
Mm-hmm.
And decides between powerful contenders. Let's see. Both states seem right. Both cases seem good. I don't know. Let's just cast lots and see who wins. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And quarreling is like the bars of a castle.
Mm-hmm.
Even the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
Hmm.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Very similar wording to what James has, you know, says later in the New Testament. And yeah, those who love it will eat its fruit. It being probably death.
Put another way, make sure your words are sweet in case you have to go back and eat them
mm-hmm.
later.
Yeah. But you can also, depending on what you say, you can literally lead someone to life.
Yeah.
Or be again, depending upon what you say, you might be one of the reasons that person does not choose life.
Mm-hmm.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Hmm. Amen.
Memorize that, honey. I would say she who finds a husband finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Hmm. I praise him every day for you. The poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
That's right. One good friend worth many, mm-hmm. you know, fly-by-night friends.
Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man.
Drinking buddies.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone who really loves you will be willing to lay down his life for you.
Right. And that is the friend that we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. But there are friends there. And again, not to, you know, make it sound like we're trying to just flatter the folks that we work with, but we have been brought into a larger family.
Yeah.
And it really is remarkable the way we see people just willing to help, you know, even when it's not convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to make it sound like I'm going over the top here, but, it is truly a good place that we've been led.
Hi, Sam. Sam says we're done.
Yeah, he's sounding the two-minute warning here. Standing up and stretching. Okay. And there's the shake-off. The ceremonial shake-off. Well, good words of wisdom today. And I know we spent a lot of time on that one verse about relationships and about a woman building up her household, but that felt like the right thing to do.
It really did. And I know many of you out there listening, you may not... And I wish you had it. I wish everybody had the relationship that we have. Not everyone does.
Right.
That's just the way the world works. So to those of you out there who do not have a relationship like this, I pray that the Lord will bring you one. And if you're not in a relationship at all right now, I pray that his will for you will be that you find a wonderful relationship. But you know what? If you don't have it, you do have it with your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
No matter what happens between you and another human being on this earth, if you have Christ as your Savior, you have that relationship with the Father. He loves you. Our Savior is your bridegroom. He is the relationship that you want. That's what we all crave.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find that with another human being on this earth before we go into our eternal life, that's awesome because it helps you to spread the word to others. And it frankly just makes for a happier life. But
mm-hmm.
if you don't, then just cherish the relationship that he wants to have with you and draw closer to that.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to just contemplate what Christ has done for us. And I'm still, you know, really powerfully moved by the understanding of Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 and the restoration to the divine council. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, credit to Mike Heiser. Mm-hmm. We got to work our,
ding, 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 ding.
weekly reference to Mike in the podcast here. In the unseen realm, he talks about Hebrews 1 and 2 and the understanding of that, those passages in light of the divine counsel, where Jesus will step into the council and declare us and sing our praises to his brothers.
Literally sing our praises.
Yeah. Think about that Christ who died for us, the creator of the universe, at some future point will bring us back to God's holy mountain, back to the divine council, and sing our praises. Mm-hmm. And, well, I can't do the, just read Hebrews chapters mm-hmm. 1 and 2, and just be prepared when we get to that in our New Testament study, I'm going to be crying. So that's just because it is really overwhelming when you think about that. And that is the love that he has for us, that his whole reason for coming down and becoming human and setting aside temporarily the glory that is his by right, so that he could restore us to the family, is amazing, especially knowing the end from the beginning as he does, knowing that we would all rebel and that each day we would fall short of his glory by thought, word, and deed, committing sin every single day. He still chose to suffer and to endure human death so that he and we would live together for the rest of time. I mean, that is how special you are to God, the creator. Mm-hmm. There is nothing you can do to, you know, just by accepting him, there's nothing you do to change your status in his eyes. And that is remarkable. That is overwhelming. And that's why if you saw my presentation in Colorado Springs, I broke down at the end because it was just, you know, it's just remarkable. It is just inconceivable that he would love us that much. And yet he does. So. Well, we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which instructs us, encourages us, and Lord, guides us with the promise of your return. Father, we pray for those who are feeling lonely, who are not blessed with the kind of human relationships that you have, with which you blessed us. We know that everybody has a different path. Some of them are the result of choices. Others are just the result of situations into which they've been placed that are beyond their control. But Lord, all of us, regardless of where we are your children. And we know, Father, that you have reached out to us. The only way that would bring us back to you is through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your sacrifice for us. Lord, we pray for understanding, for wisdom and discernment, for the courage to live according to your word, even when things are difficult, even when it's inconvenient, even when doing so exposes us to ridicule or harm. And we know that those days are coming for us here in the West, just as they are here now and have been for generations for people who follow Christ in the Middle East, in China, and other places around the world. Father, we pray for your missionaries in the field, that you would strengthen them and protect them. We ask, Lord, that you would bless those and comfort those in need, those who are struggling emotionally and physically, financially, Father. And Lord, that you would lift us all up with the sure knowledge of your soon return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with